Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter, home of the best looking, most intelligent people in Bitcoin. We are glad to have you, gentlemen. We are dipping right now. We'll get to the news in a moment, but we, let me check. We're at a little over $92,000. We're recording this on Tuesday the 26th. And man, Twitter is, they were so excited last week when we edged up against 100, and now we're down. What do you think is going on? Rick, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a non-event, right? Like what I'd say is, let's not forget that less than 22 days ago, the price was under 70,000, right? And today it's 90,000, over 90,000. And for some reason, right? And for some reason, that means that everybody on Twitter is having a terrible time. And I struggle with that a little bit, if I'm honest, because we're up like close to 30% in the month. And everybody's like dissatisfied. Somehow that's not good enough, right? We should be at 150. We should be at 200. I mean, again, I think I've mentioned this before in the podcast. I remember when the ETFs got approved, and then everyone was certain we'd be at 350K within 6 weeks, or, you know, this just always happens, right? It always happens. There's always like a catalyst that's meant to drive the price to Jupiter, to the moon, everywhere, right? Like, I remember, you know, like when El Salvador adopted it, it was like, right, it'll be 10 million next week. You know, it's this normal thing. Like everyone gets too hyped up, too excited. And it's just not going to go in a straight line all the time. That's not how markets work, right? For every buyer, there's a seller. And sometimes there's slightly more sellers than buyers. I mean, you know, there could be a million and one reasons why someone is selling some Bitcoin, right? Could be someone who's been around for a long, long, long time, and they finally decided to buy that nice house they've always been thinking of, but they're in a country where they can't buy it directly with Bitcoin. So they sell some, you know, into fiat, buy the house. Who knows? You know, that's the great thing about Bitcoin is you can buy it, you can sell it, you can spend it, you can do whatever with it. And that's what people are going to do. So, yeah, I mean, all I would say to people is that, like, in every single bull market, Bitcoin bull market I've ever seen, there have been multiple 30% plus dips along the way. So, you know, the chart kind of looks like this, like it's going very sort of vertical and steep and up, right? Looks great. But on the way, there's all these little dips along the way of 30, 35%. Now, you know, during the dip, having experienced a few myself when I was a bit younger, right? Like, I can tell you how it feels. It feels like your stomach is going to fall out, right? You know, you're thinking, oh my God, did I get this wrong? Maybe someone knows something that I don't. Is there a fatal flaw in Bitcoin that I've missed? You know, if you're new to this sort of stuff, my advice would just be to, like, you know, everybody just needs to calm down. When you're up 30% in 4 weeks and it pulls back a little bit, it's kind of to be expected, because otherwise it's just going to be green candles from here on out, right? And I'm not sure my brain could handle that either. Like, can you imagine? I'd have to rewrite the newsletter every week, because, like, you just can't keep up with what's going on. So I would say, look, you know, just calm down, right? Bitcoin always was and still is a long-term play, right? You store your value and keep any spare money that you have every month in Bitcoin, knowing that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it's going to have a load more purchasing power, and you can start to build like a successful and stable financial future with it, right? If you're looking at the charts and you're getting dragged into the hype with everybody else, that when you're up 30% in a month, but it drops back 10%, you're really upset. I think you need to zoom out. I think you're too close to it, and you're losing sight of the much, much bigger picture here, which is that anybody who bought the dip in the last 15 years, right, did well and made money. So maybe this dip's not going to be any different, and maybe you should just hold out. Or if you've got some liquidity, maybe you could think this is an opportunity to get some cheap Bitcoin. So yeah, kind of nothing to be worried about, in my opinion.
Yeah, for anyone who listens to this and thinks we put on like a bullish face for the show, Tony was just talking before we hopped on. He said, "Who is selling this stuff? Why would you be sell? What are you selling it for?" And I think that's a very fair question. Tony, what's your reaction? Could you maybe give an additional word of encouragement to our listeners?
Well, for starters, no one should be looking at that garbage price. But of course, it is the first thing that everybody pays attention to, and it's the first thing that sparks up all the conversations. So we have to mention it, whether we like it or not. The movements like this, just to me, they cement that the people, the people, those who Bitcoin was created for, are asleep. They're completely clueless and unaware about anything and everything that is going on. Otherwise, why wouldn't Bitcoin be at some, stupid number already by now, right? If just the people that, understood 5% of it just bought and held a small amount, you'd be past 100K like 3, 4, 5 years ago. But this just confirms that the general population, like you can't be bearish enough on human stupidity and ignorance. That's really what it tells me when I see movements like this. It tells me that there's a bunch of crooks in control of the money that are just laughing at the world. They know that they're late to the game. They know most Bitcoin is HODLed by individuals, right? So how are they going to get these monkeys to let go of their Bitcoin? It's by causing this emotional roller coaster. And it happens every single time. Somebody starts buying, leveraging, the price goes up like a roller coaster, and then boom, all of a sudden, for no known reason, it comes crashing down. And those that don't understand anything, well, they get a heart attack, their stomachs go inside out, and they sell thinking, oh my gosh, that's it, it's going to zero. And that's how these idiots lose their Bitcoin. And the cycle repeats over and over and over. This is all that's happening. Like Rick mentioned, if you look on November 1, the price was around 66,000. So even now with this whatever percentage, 6, 7, 8% dip, you're still up, a good amount if you're calculating in that toilet paper to begin with, right? So there's nothing to worry about. These are just the same games being played over and over, and the same dummies falling for them over and over. So until people learn what Bitcoin really is, like really truly understand that this is going to become the world reserve currency. All right. Fiat is worthless money. It has no value. It is toilet paper in the literal sense that someone's printing a button to print while you go slave morning till night and pay taxes on it. So essentially your whole life, most of it is working for free. That's what you're slaving for. And yet you're having doubts about the only money that is mathematically confirmed to be in no one's control. Like, how does that make sense? You understand? Like, what you just need more people to be aware of this and to truly understand and believe it. And then all of these games, they stop almost instantly because who are you going to fool anymore? Right? But as long as nobody cares and they're all chasing easy money because of whatever reasons, well, you expect these roller coasters. I mean, for me, it's sad to watch, but it's laughable at the same time because I know what's going on. It's like if I were in these crooks' shoes and I wanted to have fun with a whole bunch of dummies, man, this would be like Disneyland. One day buy, one day sell, one day buy, one day sell. It's like a drunk monkey at the wheel. And so what you reap the benefits, the entertainment is clearly there. So that's what I think.
Okay, guys, don't sell your Bitcoin. That's the takeaway here. All right, let's jump into some news, and I'm going to kick this off with a fun little video.
Never forget, weirdest is most original. This song is for the entrepreneurs and hackers, all the misfits and smart fuckers.
What? Russell Khan, the Versace better win. Come real far, but don't know where I'm heading. Motherfucking crocodile of Wall Street. Silver on my fingers and boots on my feet. Always be a goat, not a goddamn sheep. Email me, fuck your message at the beep. Beep, beep, beep.
Alrighty. So, Rick, I'll let you explain who that is for anyone who doesn't know in a minute. But the news here is that I think 2 US hackers have been sentenced over the last couple of weeks over the Bitfinex heist back in 2016. Almost 120,000 Bitcoin worth about $4.5 billion. So major heist. This was huge news in the Bitcoin space. And they've now been sentenced. I think, what was his, Ilya Liechtenstein, and then I don't know what Razlan Khan's sentence was exactly, but they've been sentenced for the heist. Rick, tell me what we were just watching and give me your thoughts on the verdict.
What we were just watching there is, that's actually my favorite track of all time that I just really wanted to share with our audience.
No, there we go.
Yeah, we played it at my wedding for the first dance. That it's just so good, right? No, in all seriousness, right, that woman is a lady called Heather Morgan, right? And she's an unusual character. I think you could probably gather that already. That's her alter ego, Razzle Khan. That's what she goes by when she's being a rapper. I mean, that was some pretty interesting rapping. So that's what she goes by. But anyway, look, the story is really simply that her and her husband, this guy Ilya Liechtenstein and Heather Morgan, they back in 2016 managed somehow to hack Bitfinex, which was like, you know, a pretty big crypto exchange at the time. I don't know if it was the biggest, but it was, you know, it was a big venue for buying and selling Bitcoin. And some way or another, they managed to hack Bitfinex to the tune of 120,000 Bitcoin, which, I mean, that is an astonishing number, right? Bear in mind, back in 2016, I think that was probably worth about $70 million, right? But 120,000 Bitcoin now is like, I mean, billions and billions, you know. It might be get up close to like 8, 9, 10 billion. I'm not 100% sure, right? My math isn't that quick, but it's a hell of a lot of money. What's crazy about these two, honestly, like if anyone wants to go and look up the story, it really is wild, because they stole all this money and then they spend the next few years like basically trying to launder all of this money in various like crazy different ways. You know, flying back to Russia, like trying to buy gold coins and move it around and all this stuff. And I don't actually know when or how they got busted, but I think it was the biggest seizure by the US Department of Justice in history, like ever, right? This $3 billion or whatever it was when they finally booked these guys. And I think, yeah, the story is last week, Ilya, he got sentenced for 5 years, I think, in jail. And she got 18 months for her involvement, whatever that was. I find those sentences pretty light, if I'm honest with you, right? Like, you know, just like when most exchanges get hacked, there will be people who lost, you know, life-changing amounts of money. You know, I'm sure during some of the stress, like that will have impacted people in terrible ways. I mean, you know, the reality is I've heard countless stories over the years of people losing all their Bitcoin and doing something stupid, right? Like taking their own life or feeling like they have to give up. And, you know, for this person to go and steal people's money like that and then get 5 years and his wife get 18 months, and it kind of feels a little bit like a slap on the wrist, right? Especially when, you know, someone like Ross Ulbricht had the book thrown at him. He's basically buried under the jail, right, for building the Silk Road. And you've also got the Samurai devs, you know, going through their trial at the moment. And I don't doubt that, you know, if they're found guilty, they'll absolutely throw away the key with those kind of guys as well. So, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, who manages to kind of get off scot-free. You know, I wonder how long until SBF is back walking around Wall Street doing what he's doing, right? Probably not as long as it should be. So, crazy story. They stole a load of money. They got busted. Maybe the only other interesting thing about it is that money now, I believe, will be redistributed back to creditors of the exchange. So similar to when MT Gox, like I think earlier in the year, they were redistributing some of those hacked coins, right? So something similar is going to happen where those coins get redistributed. So I'll call this right before it inevitably happens. But when they start redistributing those coins, I can guarantee you that Twitter's going to be alive with the question, will they huddle it? Will they sell it? Is the price going to dip? Is it going to... Oh, God, it's just, man, like we say a lot, time is a flat circle. We're just going to keep going round and round and round doing the same stuff until hyper-Bitcoinization, because everyone's figured it out. So, just a conclusion to that story from 2016, really.
Yeah, Well, I mean, I agree with everything you said. It does. I think the implications of these sorts of events are misunderstood, because people do tragic, sad things when this sort of thing happens. And it does feel like a slap on the wrist in light of probably a lot of the damage that kind of goes unseen. The one advantage is that Razzlecan can get back to her music career, and we'll all benefit from that. So, Tony, what do you think?
Well, I don't know what's worse, is losing your Bitcoin or finding out that you lost it to someone like that. You know, someone who just escaped, you know, like a Gotham prison or a Gotham mental asylum. Man, it's a very sad story. I don't like hearing about these things, especially, you know, well, from one side, if they manage to hack an exchange, obviously these are not stupid people, right? They have a lot of skill, a lot of talent. And they go and they blow it on something as absurd as that. And then not only do they do that, but then they go out of their way to cast every possible piece of attention onto them so that eventually they end up where they are today. It's like a disaster from day one. You know, it's like when I was growing up learning everything I know, some of my mentors, you know, that I've never met in person, the real hackers, you know, those people that you never really hear about. One of the very first things they told me is that, do you want to know what a dumb hacker looks like? And then they'd point to articles like this. They're like, this is how dumb hackers get caught. It's because they get caught up in their own egos and it just blows up in their face. So, you know, like, I mean, what do you want me to tell you, man? These things are going to continue happening, like you said, Drake, and until people learn that, you know, you have to change your ways, otherwise you're going to keep, you know, experiencing the same results. There's just no way around this.
Yeah. Jokes aside, I mean, the one of the benefits of these sorts of things, you know, take the Bitfinex hack took place, and now a few years later, we're talking about the sentencing, is it's an opportunity to revisit the topic of self-custody with people, right?
Yeah.
And like no one is immune from this. And if you think Coinbase is safe because they're, you know, onshore and regulated, I mean, hacks happen every day, and we're talking generational wealth, and people need to put the complacency, take full self-custody. We can help you with that, of course. But Rick, were you about to say something else? Do you have another comment? Or
Well, everyone's going to think that this hat that I'm wearing is made out of tin foil, right? But there are some interesting things about this lady, Heather Morgan, right? I don't know the full story, but I've heard a few rumors, right? If you go digging into her background, like, apparently she was once upon a time like an economist at the World Bank, right? So think about this, right? 2016, massive exchange goes down, right? The perpetrators, right? You know, maybe they're really talented, or maybe there's something going on behind the scenes here, right? This woman used to be an economist at the World Bank. I don't know, right? You think, that sounds quite interesting. Then fast forward to FTX and SBF, right? Do you remember SBF when he was sitting on stage with the likes of Bill Clinton and Tony Blair and all these globalists, right? And let's not forget how much SBF donated to both like political campaigns as well, right? Now, I don't know if any of that money from those donations to those political campaigns would ever get back to the creditors, but you've got to ask the question, right? So, you know, were those donations actually like proceeds of the fraud that SBF was committing before this all goes into government coffers? And I don't know. It's the same thing again, right? SBF was pushed to the forefront of everybody's consciousness as some sort of wunderkind, you know, genius, mathematician, guru, god, right? Like the god of crypto or whatever. And sometimes it just feels to me that like there's a little bit, this is maybe a little bit convenient. You know, if I wanted to slow down Bitcoin adoption, or if I wanted to make people distrustful, then one of the best ways to do that is have these big, consistent, explosive hacks and that sort of thing. Now, you know, I don't know. It's total speculation. Ilya and Heather Morgan might have been acting totally on their own, and it might have been the true of SBF, right? Just classic fraud. But I don't know. I don't know. I stay curious, right? Maybe there's something a little bit more to those stories.
Yeah, if you had asked me to guess her previous career, I don't know. It would have taken me millennia to come up with economists at the World Bank. So it's might be a sort of an inconvenient fact for some people. But that's I think this is what a lot of people just don't. there's like an assumption of like, oh, this happened, and like that's the story, right? And like if you do a little bit of digging, I mean, people like Whitney Webb and Ian Carroll, and like I don't buy into everything as a conspiracy, but simply referring to something as a conspiracy theory is just it's a way of evading a conversation about what might be. So I'm at this point, man, I'm open to anything. Like, yeah,
you gotta be.
Yeah, absolutely. All righty, last piece of news we've got. So, all right, this pump fund dev was shooting out his window every time his coin pump.
You done migrating? Bet. I'm gonna blow the bitch up right now. Just blew that bitch twin on, bro. Just blew that bitch up, chat. I just blew that shit up, chat. I just blew that shit up.
All righty, Rick. Tell me what we've. I need you to explain everything to me because nothing makes sense anymore.
Man. Well, look, you know, the only reason I suggested we even talk about this topic today, right, is because I really want to underline the difference between crypto and Bitcoin and that they are not the same thing at all. Otherwise, I wouldn't waste your time with such nonsense, right? But basically, the short version of this story is there's a website, and I'm not even going to mention the name of the website, right? Because I'm not interested in bringing any attention to it. But basically, there's a website that you can go to that makes it like exceptionally easy to make a new meme coin. Like, I mean, easy to the point of it's probably easier to make a new meme coin than it is to like post a Facebook post, right? To give you an idea, right? 10-year-old kids and 12-year-old kids are going on there and making their own meme coins and running them up to hundreds of thousands of dollars and all sorts of just absolute craziness. And the video you just saw there is on this website, right? You can go and create a meme coin within like 5 minutes. And then you can also, like, they've combined it with live streaming now. So basically you go on there, you launch a coin, you live stream yourself doing God knows what, anything, right? Whatever you can come up with. And then you try and convince everyone watching to like pump the coin and buy the coin and whatever. I guess you could say, right, like I'm pretty confident that all of the participants know that these are not serious tokens or coins, or they're not trying to be money. Like the whole thing is quite clearly like entertainment or stupidity or a mixture of all of that stuff. But it's like what I've seen on that website is like the epicenter of degeneracy. Right. And kind of, I can't think after 10 years, I can't think of a better example of what crypto represents. Right. All it is gambling and degeneracy at the heart of it all. Right. And here's the thing that I really wanted to drive home and share this story is because all of this is taking place on the Solana blockchain. Right. Now, Solana is, I mean, I have no interest in anything other than Bitcoin, but I know that Solana is probably in the top three or top five coins out there, right, that you can find on exchanges. And the thing about Solana as well is because it's like a top five, top 10 coin or whatever, a lot of people are going to think that it has some legitimacy, right? Like it's an actual like project, like with a meaningful goal, or, you know, it's got some credibility almost, which is surprising, I know, but true. So what I really want to highlight to people is that, look, if you're going into the exchanges and thinking, well, you know, I'm going to buy a little bit of Bitcoin, but I'm going to buy some of these other top five coins as well, because maybe they're going to solve some other real world problem. Well, they're not. They're not solving anything. They haven't ever solved any real world problems in 10 years. And Solana is not going to be any different. It's not going to solve any real world problems. And you can see that by all that they're using it for is this nonsense. And I mean, it is turbo nonsense, right? So we've just seen that guy's coin. His game was every time someone pumps the coin, I'll shoot out of the window. Crazy behavior. There's other ones where a guy's sat on a toilet and refused to get up from the toilet for 72 hours or 72 days or something. Then there's a guy who's locked himself in the cage. You know, and worse, right? There's way, way worse on that platform, as I'm sure you could probably imagine what might happen. So you've got this mixture of degenerate gambling plus, like, I don't know, social media on acid trying to farm attention and do crazy stuff on live streams. And it's just got way out of control. So, yeah, again, I just want to highlight, look, you know, Bitcoin is here to end the Federal Reserve. It's a way to take the control of money out of the hands of government so that they can't print it endlessly, and tax you, you know, discreetly through the back door by making your money worth less. It's there to stop them funding endless forever wars. It's there to stop them having the money to, you know, build the surveillance state out any further and track every minute detail about your life. That's what we're trying to achieve here. And that's what Bitcoin is going to help us achieve. Meanwhile, all these affinity scams, all these other coins, all of this crypto nonsense, like, what I would say to you is, like, if you can't possibly take yourself seriously as an investor or someone who's thinking about their wealth if you're buying Sol, right, and thinking that you have this as part of a sensible, balanced portfolio. This is nonsense thinking. Like, you've just heard those words from some jumped up financial advisor at some point in your life that you spoke to, and now all of them, like bleating seagulls, will say, "Oh, balanced portfolio," right? Not realizing that, you know, Bitcoin makes sense. All the other crypto stuff is just garbage. So, yeah, I thought I'd share that craziness with you today, so you can just see how bad it is over in crypto world.
Yeah, Tony, I think your version of hell would be having to hang out with all of these people for a day. what's your reaction?
Broken money, man. This is like the symptoms of a degenerate society. I mean, you know, if you look at this, I mean, every day you hear a story. And it seems that the story seems to be going to more and more extremes, you know, of where people are trying to find ways to make money. I mean, how far do you go with this garbage? Like, I mean, this guy's shooting every time somebody pumps his coin. When that stops being enough, what's next? Do you go out and you murder someone to pump your coin? Like, is that like the next level thrill? Like, how far does it go? There doesn't seem to be any, you know, any limits to this. So it's worrisome, you know, when you see so many people attracted to this garbage, you know, under the illusion that, yeah, I'm going to make money. What money are you making? You understand? Like, again, it comes back to that fundamental fact that nobody knows what money is. Everybody thinks that, you know, your dollars or your euros, that's money. That's not money. That is complete rubbish that you're being exploited for, taken for a fool with, and, you know, made to believe all this nonsense and made and pushed to act in certain ways like this because, you know, life has become so difficult for you because, of course, you're trying to swim against the tide. The game is rigged. There's no way you're going to make it. And now we're at the very ends of it where it's become like maybe in the past it wasn't so bad. But now, you know, when you're reaching finality, well, you know, like what other options do you have? You have to go to such extremes. Or you opt out entirely. But what's easier, to go out and shoot a gun out of a window or to sit down and read a book and figure out, you know, this is where I have to go? Sad state of humanity, man. Education is out the window. The whole system is broken and it's all powered by this broken money. And this is what Bitcoin was created for, hopefully to, you know, format and completely eliminate so that we can somehow have some sort of hope for this world, hope for humanity, to rebuild itself, you know, in something that makes sense.
Well said. All righty, gentlemen, I think that's a good place to wrap up. So for everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. If you don't have broken money, if you have Bitcoin, you need to make sure that you're custodying it the right way. We can help you. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast, schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. We walk you through this process. I was a client before I worked with the team. It works. It's awesome. You can also help with online privacy phones, Plan B residencies. We'd love to chat with you. Again, it's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to talk with you soon. Gentlemen, thanks for the time. Look forward to chatting again here in a few days.
Thanks, Michael. Always a pleasure,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Michael.
Cheers, guys.